I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for a visit to the beauty shop. That's where we go to get fresh perspectives on some of the stories we are following. Today we want to focus on how some women are portrayed in movies and television, and we want to consider the effect that this may have on how women and girls see themselves. We'll talk about a new report on how reality television could be shaping what girls want. And why is it that so many women journalists in movies and television shows right now are depicted using their sexuality to get ahead? With us to talk about these stories are Makisha Madden-Toby. She's a TV critic and media writer for the Detroit News. Kimberly Salmon is a senior researcher at Girl Scouts USA. And Linda Holmes edits NPR's entertainment and pop culture blog, Monkey See. Welcome to you all. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me.
Kimberly, I'm going to start with you because of this, I think, very interesting research that you did. You surveyed a diverse group of more than 1,000 teenage and preteen girls across the country. They were aged 11 to 17. Important to note, not just Girl Scouts. And you wanted to find out how reality TV shows may influence them. I'll just play a short clip from one of the shows that is popular with girls, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, for the seven people who aren't familiar with it. Here it is.
I'm not going if I'm not having a suite at this time. I want the $2,500 room, the best room that they have.
I don't think it's asking for too much to stay in a nice hotel in a suite. Thank goodness I'm not asking for a private plane.
Me neither, Kim. I don't think it's too much either. So. Now, Kimberly, first, why did you, what motivated this survey?
Sure. So we know that reality TV is everywhere, and this was really our effort at the Girl Scout Research Institute to better understand how this impact is affecting girls and how girls are experiencing this phenomenon. And it's really a part of our general effort at the Girl Scout Research Institute to become the leading expert on girls.
Well, you know, just some of the findings, I'll just keep my opinion to myself about what frightens me about this, to say, half of the girls in the study watch reality TV. 75% say competition shows, and 50% think that reality shows are, in fact, real and unscripted. So that's that piece of it. But tell us about some of the other findings. Did you find that the girls who watch these shows a lot, that it did have an effect on what they think?
Sure. Well, I think you hit the main point of the study, which is that many girls think that reality TV reflects real life. They're consuming it as real and unscripted television. And because we know that young people in general tend to pattern themselves after what they see in the media, they're really using these examples of how to be in their own lives. And what we actually saw was a huge difference between those girls who consume reality TV regularly and those girls who do not, in terms of their expectations around peer relationships, their expectations around how the world works, and around the importance of physical appearance.
Well, break it down a little bit more. What did you actually find? You found that, what, gossiping is normal?
Yeah,
what
else? So girls who watch a lot of reality TV are much more likely to say things like gossiping is normal between girls. They're much more likely to say that it's in girls' nature to be catty and competitive with one another, and they're less likely to trust other girls.
And the added emphasis and value on physical appearance. Now, Linda, your blog is called Monkey See, which comes from the phrase monkey see, monkey do.
Sure.
Right? So, and this is an age-old question. Is it monkey see, monkey do? Do you have an opinion about, is there data on whether what we see does affect our behavior? What's your take on it?
I think, you know, it's fair to say that probably the culture that you consume has effects on behavior. I don't question that. I think it's always difficult to know for sure when you're looking at the culture affecting the person and when you're looking at the person's personality affecting what culture they choose to take in. Because these girls obviously don't come to their television preferences as blank slates. They come with their own personalities. They come with their own experiences already. And I think it's also believable to me that some of these girls who believe gossiping is normal and that kind of thing, that they are, you know, everybody knows that some kids are more sort of dramatic in their personality than other kids, and those kids might be more drawn to reality TV. So it's hard to know always what's cause and what's effect.
Makisha, what about that? What's your take on this?
I think that there's some truth in that, too. I also think that when shows are as popular as Keeping Up with the Kardashians or, say, a Jersey Shore, you know, other girls might want to be in on the conversation. You know, you don't want to be the uncool person who doesn't know what the show is about. And then you watch it and you get sucked in and you think this is real. You think that people get drunk and hook up and do all kinds of wild things and fight with each other in bars and do dance-offs and do talk strange and wear horrible clothes. And that's that world. I mean, and on one hand, as adults, we know it's entertainment. But if this is all you see, it's easy to start, you know, thinking that this is how it's supposed to be. This is how this is good television.
How dominant a force are reality shows in the television landscape today, Makisha?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they're so cheap to make that networks are going to keep making them until people tell them to stop. And they aren't going to stop because, as you said, there's a whole new generation now that only is watching this all the time, unfortunately. But they think this is real. And they don't realize that these are created, you know, manufactured situations and manufactured, you know, setups and relationships.
Well, you know, what about, you know, Linda makes the point that, you know, is it the, which is the chicken and which is the egg? Is it the people who already have a lot of drama in their lives are drawn to these shows, or do these shows encourage people to think that drama is normal? One data point that African-Americans and Hispanics were more likely, girls in the survey, more likely to watch reality TV and were affected more by it. But we also know that African-American and Hispanic girls are more likely to spend more hours watching television than the other, than the general population. So it's, you know, it's again, what's the chicken and what's the egg here? Kimberly, do you have an opinion about this?
Well, we're definitely not saying that there's a causal relationship to Linda's point, but there is a correlation here. And we did see that those girls who consume more reality TV are more likely to say that they relate to the scenarios, relate to the situations. So I think it is the classic chicken and egg scenario.
Does this, Kimberly, I'm going to ask you, if you may have an opinion about this or not. Does this worry you? I mean, do you feel that there's something to be learned about this? Because traditionally, the people who have been very interested in this whole question of content have very often been people who are on the conservative side of the political aisle, who have been, or parent groups which lean conservative, to say, look, I don't want my kids exposed to this because you're validating a set of behaviors and values that I don't share, and I don't want this. And then you've got other people. Of course, there's, you know, the free speech people. People should, you know, this is just they'll say that this is reflecting reality, so don't shy away from the reality that people are experiencing.
Sure.
So do you have an opinion about this, Kimberly?
Well, one of the, yes, everything that I just spoke about is troubling, but I just want to make the point abundantly clear that we're not saying that all of reality TV is bad. And actually, our study came out with some very inspirational and motivational findings around reality TV, specifically
like that
many girls, for instance, 6 in 10 girls, say that reality TV has helped raise their awareness of important issues and causes. And almost 7 in 10 girls say that reality TV makes them feel that they can achieve anything in their life. So there are definite good things coupled with the bad things.
But one other finding, 1 in 4 girls expects to be famous.
Yes, expects
to be famous. The
question
was, in your life, do you expect you will be famous?
Yes, and 1 in 4 girls expects. And so I think that is a direct result of this reality TV phenomenon. Girls are consuming TV where they see people like them, especially on these competition-type shows like the American Idol shows, and they think that that is going to happen to them. So I think that is a huge cultural shift in the last 10 or 20 years, because we're not talking about aspiration, I want to become famous. We're actually talking about their expectation around that.
Well, look at Kim Kardashian. I mean, she has no, like, tangible talent, and really no one in her family does, but they created a whole, you know, career and spinoff shows and all this other stuff based on her doing a sex tape. So, you know, why wouldn't a girl, an average girl, look at her and say, I can be her? Because she can't sing, she can't dance, she's not a writer.
She does look really cute in high heels, though.
She has great clothes, she and she's pretty.
She is very pretty. But I'll just say one thing before we move on from this topic. One of the things that bothers me, and I don't know that the survey spoke to this specifically, is relationship behavior, is that they're validating a kind of way to speak to people that I just find very disturbing. I just think if you were to talk to the people in your life that way, I'm sorry, I just think that, you know, this, like, just basic manners, like, not, you know, look at people when you speak to them, let them finish, you know, like, you know, not like don't take phone calls in the middle of a serious conversation with your significant other. I mean, what, you know, and I just look at that and I think,
or text message.
Yeah. Or texting your girls in the middle of a conversation with your husband. Excuse me?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's very, I think it's really important. This is one of the things that was so that I did appreciate about the study, is there was some separation between what kind of show you're talking about, because any conclusion that you draw that's supposed to be a conclusion about the effects of both Project Runway and Jersey Shore is going to have inherent problems because they're so very, very different. But I absolutely agree with you. The shows that just involve people wallowing in their own grievances and petty arguments all the time.
And shopping.
That's what really, those are the ones that really bug me. And that's not all reality TV. That's a slice.
Exactly. It is a slice, but it is the most popular slice of TV for girls. So when you look at the different genres, real life shows are one, either the number one or number two, depending on the age range of types of shows they're watching.
So Extreme Makeover is not as popular with these girls.
Although shows like that are the ones that tend to confer the most benefits.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having a visit to the beauty shop. We're talking about topics that we think could use a fresh take. Our guests are Kimberly Salmon. She's senior researcher for the Girl Scouts USA. They just sponsored a survey of girls and how reality TV may affect their expectations, perceptions, relationships. Linda Holmes writes and edits NPR's Monkey See blog, and Makisha Madden-Toby covers TV and media for the Detroit News. Now I'd like to talk about, maybe this is a little self-obsessed, but I am interested in the female characters that we are seeing recently who are journalists. You know, it used to be that these women were heroes, like Lois Lane from Superman, Mary Richards from Mary Tyler Moore. Not, heroic, but just... But now, we've seen a lot of female reporters depicted who basically use their bodies to get ahead or use sexuality to get ahead. And I'll just play a short clip from the new George Clooney political thriller, The Ides of March.
So, Paul, tell me something I don't know. Tell me what's going to happen on the 15th.
Us by 9.
So you're certain you're going to win here?
Certain, no, confident, yeah.
You just said you win by 9.
And I think that we will.
Now, that's Ida Horowitz, played by Marissa Tomei, the character Ida Horowitz, as played by Marissa Tomei. Now, that scene doesn't really express what I'm talking about here, but I'm thinking about, Thank You for Smoking, for example, where Katie Holmes plays a character who sleeps with, is intimate with, a source to get ahead. And so I don't know, Linda, tell me, do you think this is a trend here, or...
One of the things that's depressing to me is that there are so few professional women in a lot of TV and movies that... that blips are easy to confuse with trends just because there's so few examples to draw from. There's not a huge population of women journalists on television and in movies. There's not a huge population of women, with professional jobs who aren't presented primarily as being, in personal relationships. So I don't know whether it's a trend. It's not something that I've necessarily noticed, but when you point out individual examples, I say, I understand why that's sort of obnoxious, but there's so little to draw on, unfortunately. I'm not sure male journalists on television and movies come off that much better. They also tend to come off kind of like scumbags. I don't know.
Very good point. Makisha, now remember some of the blogs like Think Progress and Pointer and Mediaite have pointed this up. What's your take on it?
Well, it's funny that she mentioned the male journalists don't come off much better, too, because I always think of Ray Romano on Everybody Loves Ray. And it's like, when is this guy right? And when is he going to a sports game? How is he a sports writer that never actually goes to games? I don't think we have to worry about it too much. I mean, it's so rare that we see journalists on shows and in movies, and when you see them, they do come across as scumbags. And I thought what was interesting about on one of the blogs that was mentioned that the reporters in these movies, the women in particular, are depicted as reporters and slash bloggers. And the blog part is the part that is like, oh, well, that's not real journalism. It's like, what year is this? What are you talking about? it's just as real as any other form of journalism. But with the way they sort of portray it, it makes it seem like it's less than. So that's the part that was a little...
Kimberly,
worse.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you make an important point. Kimberly, what about this? Do you think portrayals like these are, in keeping with the conversation we were having a few minutes ago, do you think that young women see these movies and then draw a conclusion about what women journalists are all about from watching them? And I'll just confess that I may be a little sensitive about this because, I'm of that generation that people did feel that, of course that, they should be able to flirt with you, go out with you, you should flirt with them, even cruder advances because you are a woman professional. So maybe I'm a little overly sensitive about it. So I'll just put that out there. But Kimberly, what do you think?
Well, I think it is troubling in the sense that, as Linda alluded to, we have so few women portrayed in TV. And if we had a greater representation of portrayals, then girls and women watching this wouldn't necessarily think that this one female character had to represent how all female journalists are. It's kind of a ridiculous assumption that any one person could represent an entire gender or an entire race. And yet when the representations are so few and far between, that's what we tend to do. And in so much as these characters fit into narrow stereotypes already of how women and girls should be and should look, I do think that it is problematic.
And finally, before we go, I'm just going to ask you this. We only have about a minute and a half left. Beyonce. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The blogs are going crazy this week about the Beyonce baby bump. As you know, she announced to the world that she's pregnant at the MTV Awards. It was quite a dramatic moment that apparently the tweeting about this set records for Twitter. What do you take? Now there's the backlash developing with people saying, why do we care? You're not the first person to have a baby. What's your take on this?
I got to tell you, the celebrity baby bump thing is as big a mystery to me as it is to you. If I'm supposed to be able to explain why people love baby bumps, I got no idea. Baby bumps to me are a pregnant lady. I don't know why that's such a big deal, other than that when you see an incredibly glamorous, famous woman, all of a sudden with a baby bump, it sort of has this weird, you know, a transformative moment where all of a sudden you're seeing a mother instead of a hottie. And that's sort of that's the only thing I can think of that it kind of spins people's brains in a funny way. When Beyonce starts to caress this big baby bump, they're seeing something different than single ladies.
I think it's also a symptom of a general trend that we see, which is this blurring again with reality TV of what's considered public and what's considered private. And things that you wouldn't that girls never expected to see growing up are now, you know, everywhere.
Well, maybe it's just an equivalent. It's like the visual equivalent of people thinking they can touch you because you're pregnant. People you've never met thinking they can rub your belly. Experience that. Don't love it. Just letting you know. Makisha Madden-Toby is a TV writer for the Detroit News based in Los Angeles. She was with us from NPR West. Linda Holmes writes and edits NPR's entertainment and pop culture blog, Monkey See. She was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Thanks for taking the long trip down the hallway. And Kimberly Salmon is a senior researcher at Girl Scouts of the USA. She joined us from NPR New York. Thank you all, ladies, so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.